You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? Happy pre-election Sunday. I'm Monique Lorraine Stinson, and I've got my two hosts. It's a busy life. And I'm with Francis Biggers over across the pond in London. Gentlemen, say hello to Jay Heckendorf Talinda in his car. And Assemblyman running for this election this Tuesday, Mr. Keith Caccio. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to the Ununited. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good to be here.
Great. Thank you for all coming together. This is our 12th episode. I can't believe we've made it. And we're ending with a member of our electoral process and someone in political service here in Los Angeles. And I'm really grateful to have you. Assemblyman, please go ahead and let's go full screen on Assemblyman Caccio and introduce yourself to the viewers and listeners.
Thank you. That's so kind. I'd like to. Hi, everyone. This is Keith Caccio, and I am a candidate for Assembly in the heart of the west side of Los Angeles. This is the 55th district. For anyone who knows Los Angeles, it includes Culver City, but that's only 8% of the district. Most of it is the city of Los Angeles. It includes neighborhoods like Ladera Heights, Baldwin Hills, West Adams, View Park, Crenshaw, Leimert Park, Miracle Mile, Pico Robertson. So if anyone who knows LA knows, we're talking about an extremely diverse area. In fact, the district I'm running for, where I have lived for 23 years, is the most historic Black district in California. And now the demographics have kind of shifted, and it's the single most ethnically diverse district in California. And I am a software engineer by profession. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Like I said, I've been in LA for 23 years, and I got into politics about 6 years ago. And I'm working on something here, and this is my second cycle running. I ran in the 2022 cycle. I'm running now in 2024. Obviously, election day is 2 days from now. I'm doing something you would call fresh and new, experimental. Some people call it politically impossible, which is I'm attempting to run in this extremely Democrat district as a moderate Republican.
All right. And you know what? This is so great. Thank you for correcting the enunciation and for sharing with us exactly your vision. I used to live in the area that you're running for. Before I moved here in Laguna Beach, I lived off La Brea in between Crenshaw, on West Adams, La Brea and Crenshaw. And I know you're a little bit higher up in the area down the road there, but I really want to hear, let's have you share with this with the listeners and viewers exactly in 5 minutes or less, tell us exactly what you're looking to do this election if you get elected.
So I got to, like so many folks in the United States, and I'm a born and raised American, my father's an immigrant from Italy, but I got concerned about the political state of this country. I started looking into it little by little, but I am very sure about something right now, which is that I believe in representative democracy. I think that's something that in some parts of the country, things have kind of drifted away from there. And so I've done many hours of door-to-door work in the district, all those neighborhoods I just mentioned earlier and many more. And I go and I just introduce myself to folks at their door and I talk to them a little bit. And then if there's enough of a rapport, I ask them, what are you concerned about? And in my district, whether I'm in a Black neighborhood, a Latino neighborhood, a Jewish neighborhood, an Asian neighborhood, they almost always say the same thing, homelessness and public safety. If there's a third kind of thing, and you'll notice that all three of these things are all completely related to each other, it would be cost of rent. All right. So then, I've undertaken to research those things in two different ways. One of them is sort of what you call academic research. You know, I'm on the internet or I'm reading academic papers or something like that. The other one is what you would call street research or out in the field research. You know, and one of the ways you would do that in Los Angeles, if you care about homelessness, is you would attend Lhasa Commission board meetings. Now, that Lhasa is a county agency that has a $1 billion a year budget. $1 billion. And LA County is, you know, for anyone who's watching from all over the world, LA County, you can't even really call it a county, okay? It's like a large state in the United States. The county of Los Angeles has the same number of people as the state of North Carolina. So that kind of helps you see how it could be that the state, the county agency, excuse me, has a $1 billion budget. So they have a commission meeting once a month. It's like on a Friday, usually the last Friday of the month. And you can learn more than you ever wanted to learn by attending those meetings. And then another form of field research I do is just by my natural life in Los Angeles for the past 23 years, I'm friends with some folks that have experienced homelessness. They've been in and out of homelessness. My friend Donnie, my friend Kit. And these are individuals who have seen that kind of side of things. But one you know, blessing that they have is that they have maintained sobriety. You know, and so those are folks who can share incredible insights about things. Right. You know, let me just to give you like one quick example. You know, we have many encampments here in LA, and it turns out they actually get an overabundance of food. They all kinds of different organizations, religious organizations, explicitly secular organizations, atheist organizations. Everybody brings food, right? And then I asked my friend Donnie, said, do people fight over the food? You know, when it comes, he says, if it's healthy food, nobody fights over it.
Huh.
If it's sandwiches, if it's salad, if it's pieces of fruit, bananas, apples, nobody fights over it. If it is junk food, if it's candy bars, if it's Doritos and stuff, then it will be hoarded. It will be hoarded, and then somebody will basically end up reselling it or something.
Right. That is really great research in the field, and in my line of work in production, we call that man on the streets or women on the streets, and where you're going, you're taking it to. I want to give our friends here, our co-hosts, a chance to chime in on the thoughts. Now, we're going to take a 10-minute block. Again, we've got about 20 more minutes left on the show due to our all busy schedules, but we're going to talk about the actual presidential candidates. But I'm glad that you're here running in your district and giving us the feedback. Mr. Heckendorn-Talinda, we'll come back to you because it looks like you're driving. But Francis, what are your thoughts about this and what the candidate has said?
First of all, it sounds like a third world country, doesn't it, really? People are most concerned about personal safety and somewhere to live. I mean, it's just incredible. And as for going for the junk food, well, it's got a shelf life, hasn't it? Anything that's packaged, that's processed, come out of a factory, is, you know, 6 months or something like that. So you can grab as much of it as you want. And as you say, hoard it, store it, you know, sell it later, consume it later. But fresh sandwiches and fruit, you got to eat that right now today, haven't you? It's got some vitamins in it. It's got something in it that's good for you, vitamins and minerals and fiber and protein and whatever. But so, yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, why is it like that in the United States? I mean, why are people so concerned about personal safety and they're really concerned about somewhere to live? I mean, obviously, the prices of real estate have skyrocketed. You know, they've kept ahead of all the money printing, so it's just driven the assets up. It's been great for asset holders, great for the wealthy, great for corporations that own hundreds of homes, all that sort of thing. But very, very bad for anybody that's on a low income. They just, you know, the rents went crazy as well, didn't they? As a side effect of all of that, so. And now we're with this side of the pond as well, you know, experiencing the cost of living crisis, as they like to call it, which they've created. So, you know, or Putin's inflation, as they also try to call it here as well. Yeah, I mean, that's just added fuel to the fire. So it's just exacerbated the original problem was that housing was becoming too expensive. But as for personal safety.
Let me just chime in. Let me just chime in before our Assemblyman KCO. I'm going to get it right today. I promise I'm going to get it right. It's a very beautiful, unique last name. I think there's something missing, perhaps a piece missing for people who are not from the area or not really entrenched in it. My podcast, we do a homeless feed around Thanksgiving, and it's one of my passion projects when I can do it. And we let a lot of people out for non-violent offenses. There's a lot of mental health and addiction issues. And if they don't have a place to go and work and feel value and build a life again, it's kind of a catch-22. But what do you think, everybody? I mean...
Wait, okay, Monique. So I agree with that. However, and by the way, Assemblyman, I'm from Los Angeles as well. Monique, in this case... You bring up mental health issues, right? And addiction issues, which addiction is emotional and mental health, right? Driven. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you say nonviolent. However, most of the violent offenses actually come from people that are suffering from addiction.
Well, so that's a good point.
So, real question is, what do we do to deal with, instead of, here's an issue that I think most of Los Angeles would agree with. And I understand the different districts. I really do. And I do understand how they blend. I've been there 34 years. I got it. However, across the board, you've got to, when you have emotional or mental disorders, one, where does it come from? Two, how do we deal with it? And yes, three, it does. That actually is what leads to the violent crimes. So if you want to cut violent crimes, you've got to deal with those emotional and mental addiction issues, right? And then,
Monique,
then you've got to go deeper than that and say, okay, go to a younger age. Right? Because that starts with your family environment in growing up.
Let's put a pin in it right there. Amen. Just for the sake of time to get to the actual presidential thing. And let me give our candidate for the assembly, or the candidate, KCO, an opportunity to respond because he's doing more groundwork. And yes, you're from South Central. I'm from West Covina. Assemblyman, future assemblyman.
Francis and Jay, thank you for the excellent information you just shared. Thank you for the good points that you just made. So this is a big topic. If I could add something, and this is something I share with so many voters in Los Angeles, if you were to web search Dallas, Houston homelessness, you will find the most fascinating results there. You'll find the most fascinating information. Published peer-reviewed research shows that the homelessness services success story of the entire United States is Houston, Texas. And there's lots of literature about that. And then they actually know what Houston did 13 years ago. We also know that that's politically very difficult to do, which is the centralization of services, which tends to be resisted by the government agencies and the nonprofits that you're trying to centralize. But with limited time here, that's something I would just share with the audience. If you were to web search those cities and the academic research.
Sir, can you explain that? I understand it, but for the audience, can you explain that in a little bit more layman's terms?
Yes. What Houston got out of the interventions that they made is follow through. This is something that we often don't see in a huge system like LA County. We almost work a miracle in someone's life on one day, and then we forget about them. And if people have been following the news about that, back in March, a federal judge in California, in Santa Ana, Judge Carter, ordered an audit of the entire system in LA County. What did they find? That the most basic of information is not being tracked. And so my answer to you, Jay, is it's a matter of follow through. In this, technology-driven world that we live in now, you need data to have follow-through. You also need the right experts. And we have an army. Look, LA County, we have an army of incredibly talented people. that can help people. I know hundreds of them, actually. And you need to have those people take ownership of cases and be assigned properly.
And I appreciate, and man, I'm behind you. I wish I knew you 3 months ago because I would have helped you campaign on this. Not because I'm some Superman or something like that. It's not like that. But
he kind of is a Superman.
You are very genuine. The issue that I've seen in Los Angeles is that it's not just Los Angeles. It actually spreads much further, but we'll deal with Los Angeles for now. Is there, when you say we're going to track, there's nothing really to track. So
okay, pause for a minute, because we have to keep it slim, and I don't want you to feel cut off. Let me just say this, Jay, and we will pick this homelessness topic up closer to Thanksgiving and have the future assemblyman back. But I want to just say this. There's a couple things wrong here that we will deep dive. Number one, in my view, and I can be corrected, but the people that were released from prison a few years back, that when I drive down in downtown in Skid Row, that had been immediately added to that population there. They did their time. They weren't a threat to society. They had nowhere to go with no jobs. They still have the same issues they had, if not worse. And so we are trying to fix that. Also want to say to your point, Assemblyman, when you were, he's having connection issues. We always argue. When you were sharing about the nutrition, and to Francis's point, we're addicted to things that are in our food. It's a habit for me to turn on my crock pot. It's a habit for me to chop up fresh vegetables every day. It's a habit for me not to go. I haven't been to McDonald's, and unless I'm getting fries or something, I don't go there if it's an emergency. So it is a privilege and an honor to be able to go and get fresh foods at Whole Foods, okay? So our bodies are craving the MSG. But we're going to shift a little here. Put a button in it, and we want to have the future assemblyman back. Let's shift to the election. All right, everybody, let's start with our future assemblyman here. Tell me who you're voting for. Tell me how it. You and I had a beautiful conversation last night, and that's why you're here today. Obviously, you at the top of the show, you said that you are from the East Coast in Brooklyn. I'll be there tomorrow, and then I'll be with Francis in London a day after that. You've got a diverse background. You're a moderate Republican. Tell me how that navigates in the area that you live and how you came to that.
So at the one of the most important Black churches in L.A. this morning, Pastor Charles Blake II preached a sermon that was a sermon of peace and tranquility and calmness to folks, and let them know that this country on basically Wednesday of this week, no matter who wins, is going to go nuts. The United States is going to go nuts.
Say that. Okay. Future assemblyman.
But what I'm saying is the preacher, though, our pastor, he preached a sermon of tranquility and calmness because once you know that, you don't have to fall into the pattern yourself. Mm. You don't have to have the anxiety. So, there's a number of candidates on the ballot now, but everyone knows that the two front runners are the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate. And for years now, I've been a non-alarmist about these candidates. I am not a Trump alarmist, and I am not a Harris alarmist. I basically think that the United States is going to continue to be largely what it's been. Now, we can argue about whether what the United States has been is really the best thing and whether we all really want it to be that. But I think regardless of who wins, actually, this country, which, you know, some people talk about the fact that we think we have two parties. Maybe we don't even have two. Maybe we have a uniparty. Maybe we have what's called a corporatocracy. But it'll keep being that.
Great point. Francis, our British bloke from across the pond, from the 30,000-foot view, what say you? I'm sorry to keep cutting in with time blocks, but I really want to get Jay on here. He's MAGA. So I want to get Francis here a couple minutes. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole world is watching this election with bated breath. I mean, I love all of the things that that Trump has come out with recently. Particularly, I just saw RFK Jr. is going to be appointed an official position to clean up the FDA, the CDC, and the NIH. And so many people I know over here think that that's essential. It just absolutely has to happen. I mean, the whole COVID debacle and the way that that was handled, that can never happen again. Never, ever happen again, right? And for that to be the case, a lot of apparatus has to be dismantled. And that apparatus is also clearly in government, at the military industrial complex levels, so many different levels, all these lobbyists and everything. It's just all going to be cleaned out. You know, the swamp has to be drained. And America has to have a clean start again. And I think back to traditional values that built America. You know, it was a great nation. It was, you know, and it is still the shining light, really, around the world. And it has to get back on track to being that, you know. And that's as I see it. That's as I see it. I mean, that's my personal view, obviously. But, you know, you asked me, so I've told you.
Thank you. Yep, straight away, like, you know, like a Brit would. And I expect nothing less from you, dear. And we're going to have a spot of tea in less than 48, 72 hours. And we're going to talk about this together. And we're going to do some photo shoots for the podcast, but some photos. But I really love your global view. You know, we all are well traveled, including, I'm sure, our future assemblymen here. And I want to offer this, guys, and I can't wait till Jay pulls over and gets somewhere, because he's the most right in the group, I'd say. But I would say this. I have viewed how the world views us, not to be cocky or anything, but, you know, we do set a certain tone for the world, if we're being honest. And if we don't behave ourselves, like to your point about the pastor this morning, we are going to be either way, something's going to happen, unfortunately. And I really hope folks will keep it classy. Let's just stick to like what we really are trying to do. Now, whether you're voting for Trump because you're, you know, in a certain tax bracket and you don't really give an F about social issues, you just want to save some money and you view him as the person to do it. That's an honest point. I can't be mad at that. It goes against something I need, but thank you for being honest. But you're selling me this, sorry, assembly, future assemblyman, and sorry, Francis, I'm about to curse. If you're selling me this crock of shit about he's going to run this country and make it great again, it's already great. And you know why it's great? For folks like me that help keep the commerce vein, I told you this before, from east to west after the Civil War, we help keep the first main commerce vein in motion. Assemblyman, future assemblyman.
Oh, what an interesting point about American history. Now that you might be referencing something you've talked about in a previous episode or something. When you say we, you're talking about the world leadership role of the United States, or I've missed the context.
Absolutely. I'm talking about Black Americans keeping on cotton and railroad and all this. So that was our first job after being emancipated. So becoming free. We weren't paid our proper wage, but that's another conversation. But I want to say we have to really be honest with ourselves about who we are in this moment, right? And we don't have five parties. Most countries around the world have 3, 4, 5 and have options, to Francis's point. We don't. We're 1 or 2. We just ping pong back and forth, and it's almost set up like we can't really get ahead, and we're always fighting. What say you, future councilman?
Thank you so much for clarifying. Yes, the wonderful, vibrant American Black community. And as I shared earlier, I'm living in and I'm running in the most historic Black district in California. Anyone with pretensions to be the assembly person for this district needs to make an ironclad promise to go to Sacramento and advocate for the Black community as zealously and as enthusiastically as humanly possible. And so, Monique, you make a good point about all these kind of essential roles that the American Black community fulfilled over the course of hundreds of years, oftentimes because of the pressure that folks were under, you know, and the amount of creativity that they had to find within themselves almost infinite creativity over and over again. These are things we celebrate. In my district, believe it or not, on July 4th in the United States, you actually cannot find a public July 4th celebration in my district. Now, you can go just across the district line in Santa Monica or something. You can find a July 4th celebration. You know what we celebrate in the 55th? We celebrate Juneteenth, okay? And we celebrated big, 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 big. So Monique, I got to share with you as someone that's here and that is, very closely now connected with the Black community, so many issues that this country doesn't think are connected to what you would call social justice issues, they actually are connected. And one of the biggest things that's holding the country back is the failure to address these things. And I think the process, and I'm friends with the folks that are on the California Reparations Task Force, such as Ms. Camila Moore, chairwoman. Okay, and I just think that we got a lot of work to do, and it's going to surprise everybody. There's going to be stuff that's going to come out of American history that's actually going to raise eyebrows across everybody, But it's something that would be very healthy for us to do.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Well put. And by the way, I didn't bring you on for this, but it's evolving because you're right. There's cause and effect for everything, and everything touches everything. I hope Jay comes back. He's our MAGA guy. I don't want to speak for him. Francis does a lot of independent research on our candidates. So let's just go around the room here, the virtual room, and say who we're voting for. Francis, if you could cast your ballot. I already voted. I voted on Friday. I want to say to the American people, I'm leaving the country on election day. That wasn't intentional. It just happened that way. I'll be joining Francis in London and going further for other projects. But I want to say, please, let's keep it classy. Whoever you respect in your life that was something to you, and that person is my father, my grandmother, my aunt, do right by them. If they were here with you or looking down from heaven or whatever you believe, just move how they would want you to move. I always think, what would my grandmother think? Like if I mess up or am less than. But let's keep it, just be our higher version of ourselves. Like whatever happens, whomever wins. I obviously voted for Ms. Harris. I am in a very predominant white male industry. And I want to show up and just be appreciated for my talents. I also have a reproductive system that is under attack, and strangers have a say-so in that. And God gave me the right to choose to even believe in God and give me free will. And that's a personal thing. And so that's part of why I'm voting for Kamala, besides pure insanity. Francis, you have 1 minute, and our future assemblyman has the last minute on the show. Go for it, Francis.
Yeah, sure. I think if you look back throughout history, I think if I were alive in various decades, I would vote for different parties, because I don't think it's the party, it's the people that are in the party and the policies that they're pursuing at that time. And I think, if I were to go back for John F. Kennedy, I would be voting for him. But right now, here today, the quality of the people that Trump has put around him, the vision that he has for the country, I would vote for him. It's simply based on the pool of talent that he has, as well as his business acumen as well. In a time when the national
3,500 over 3,500 lawsuits. Good business all that.
That's lawfare. So yeah.
I pulled them up on Lex's Nexus. I mean, they're there. They're paying his people. I mean, a couple of them. I mean, a good business person doesn't have 3,500 lawsuits for not getting paid. That's negligence, liability.
That's the way the law system works in the United States. If you're in business, it's not lawfare.
I disagree here, Francis. I don't think that you're seeing this right. He's a con man. If we could just be honest about what it is and say, and you know what, by the way, it's our fault as producers.
Well,
and
I'm going to give you some of Hunter Biden.
It's our fault. We sold you a can of goods. It's our fault. We put him on the apprentice. It's our fault. We sold this guy to you, and we have to take some of the onus in the media, all right? We propped this guy up. He's can't even open a door to a truck. Future Assemblyman, what say you?
All right. So again, you guys have kind of it seems like you've had a conversation going for maybe previous episodes. I'm not aware of, but and I sort of this part of things I wasn't necessarily expecting to weigh in on. You know, as long as there was an oblique reference to, I think I can show this card. This is a campaign card I bring around. You know, you see pro-choice on there. You made kind of an indirect reference to the abortion issue. And I do think that the abortion issue is fascinatingly sort of more critical in American national politics than folks think that it is. But you know, it's very important for me because when I campaign around my district, I'm asked about American national politics, and I thought about it a lot, you know. And one thing I think that is, unfortunately, and this is really a dreadful thing to have to say, is that war is something that the United States is going to have to worry about more. The whole world is going to have to worry about war more, and so that's, I think, a criteria that people should seriously consider when they're looking at how they're voting on a national level in the United States. And then I would say that I think and this gets something maybe we'll follow up on sometime. American national politics has become somewhat of a charade. The purpose of which, and I mean that on both sides, you know, the purpose of which is to hide the way the American economy actually works. And there are exploitive qualities of the American economy that essentially, if you look at the way people behave economically, if you look at the way we spend our dollars, 100% of Americans agree on. There's no disagreement. You know, Americans like to shop on Amazon. They like to shop at Walmart. They like to shop at Target. Americans like to employ non-citizen labor for manual labor in the United States. There are exploitive qualities to the way the American economy works, and really, I'm a staunch capitalist myself, okay, capitalist Republican, but American capitalism has been exploited from day one. It's always been. But that basically, we as Americans, we don't want to talk about it. We don't like to talk about it. Nobody ever wants to talk about it. And so what we do is we have skirmishes over issues like abortion in order to distract ourselves from talking about the things that we all agree on.
Interesting point. Sorry to cut you. This is what we're going to do. There's so many prongs to this thing. We're going to do a part two for you guys. Mr. Heckendorn obviously is one of the top real estate and mortgage commercial and real estate agents in the country. So he, just the fact that he signed up for this, it's a pleasure to have him. Francis is about to go to bed. He's in a whole other country. Our future assemblyman here is campaigning, and myself, I got 85 things going on. Why don't we do a part two, gentlemen? Are you guys down to come back after the election and do a part two on this?
Yeah, 100%.
Sure.
Yeah.
End the foreign wars. Yes, Francis. Yes. No, and Francis, I'm going to give you a big hug. I wasn't trying to come at you, Francis, but we got to keep it fiery on the show and just call a thing. And I want to leave everyone. I want to leave everyone with this. Are we ready to really face who we are and tell the truth? And do we trust women? Do we trust this woman? Are we afraid? Are we too racist? Are we too sexist? Let's just tell the truth. You know, think about your daughter, your niece, a woman in your life that you care about. Let's practice what we preach. Do we love each other? Are we concerned about the things we say? Because they manifest. And would you put up with this level of disrespect and disregard? That's not power. Leadership is pushing people forward and elevating people, not bringing them down to feel good about yourself. I'm so tired of being gaslit by this dude. Nothing personal. I just want him to go away. I think we can do better. I think there's beautiful, talented people like our future assemblyman here. And I believe there's more talent in America, but let's vote for the lesser evil. And you know what? We'll see what happens. America, please don't burn up when I come back. Thank you so much, future Assemblyman Cascio. Did I say it right that time?
Yeah, Cascio, yeah.
Cascio. Let me get it right. Thank you, future Assemblyman Cascio. And thank you, Francis. And Jay, thank you for tuning in. I didn't mean to lose you there. We're going to do a part two. Put a button in it. Rock that vote, everybody. Be safe. And we'll see you here next time.
Wish you the best, Keith.
You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.